Welcome to E-commerce Explained, the podcast that'll help you to start, launch, and grow your own successful online store. My name is Warwick Hearns, and I'm South Africa's e-commerce expert. Back in 2010, I founded the award-winning online store Action Gear, and I grew that business from zero to doing over 20 million rand in annual revenue back in 2017, when I sold the business so that I could dedicate myself to helping South African online entrepreneurs just like you to avoid the pitfalls which I had to overcome so that you can achieve more success online faster. I'm really excited that you're listening to this, and I look forward to having you on this journey with me, where I'm going to show you how to get your online store started, grow your sales with the best digital marketing methods, and scale your business to bring about more and more success. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review with your thoughts. Let's get into this. As a board member for the E-commerce Forum of South Africa, I have the privilege of being part of some really interesting conversations. And the conversation which we just wrapped up was a fireside conversation with some of South Africa's leading experts focusing on the POPIA Act, the Privacy Act, which is coming into play from July 1st. And this has a real impact on anybody involved in e-commerce. So you need to know what's going on. And what we've done is we've recorded two sessions. This is part one of two. And next week, the next episode will be part two. So tune in right now. We're going to play the tape for part one of the conversation where we dive into what it's all about and what it means to you as an e-commerce business owner. And then be sure to catch part two, which is coming up as our next episode. But right now, let's roll the tape for part one of the POPIA conversation.
Hello, everyone. Let me introduce the first fireside chat. And we're talking about the protection of information policy, the POPIA law, which is applied. And we will be looking at how, as a company, you have to deal with the most basic issues. We will, in the future, also drill down into specific issues. But for the moment, this is the introduction to the whole issue. And I'm joined today by Warwick from Insaka E-commerce Academy. He will be asking the questions and driving it forward by Greka van der Beek, who is the chair of our legal and representational committee at the E-commerce Forum South Africa, and Thomas Reisberg, who is from Legalese and is our lawyer and trusted expert on anything to do with law. So with no more ado, let's get going. Pass you over to Warwick. Warwick, please start on the questions.
Thank you, Alistair, for that great introduction and for organizing this talk today. I think it's so crucial and important that we have these discussions to understand what is POPIA or the POPIA Act or POPIA? What is it all about? What does it mean? What do business owners need to know and need to change in their business? And it's some serious stuff. You know, it's been in the wings for a while. Now it's coming to the fore and we need to know what we're doing. So thankfully, we've got these experts here today. And I think we should just kick it off with a simple question of what is POPIA? Like, where are we going here?
Absolutely. Warwick, I'm going to jump in here for this one. Morning, everyone. And thank you for allowing us to be involved in this amazing discussion. Warwick, best place to start. They always say every journey starts with a step. So, of course, what is POPIA? I love all the different pronunciations. In short, guys, it is the main data protection act that is now going to be facing the South African citizens and people that are processing data through the borders of the Republic of the country. And what that means is that if you are processing people's personal information, whether for your own purposes or maybe someone else's purposes, we have now reached the stage where we realize the amazing value and risk associated to a lot of this data being proliferated around the world. And we've gotten to the stage where we recognize that it needs to be protected. So what we've done in South Africa is that even from 2013, when the POPIA Act was officially drafted, it's been that many years, we have now gotten to the stage of fruition. So with the advent of the POPIA Act, which is going to be discussing this in a few minutes, is when does it come into force, but it is coming around the corner. It means that South Africa now, if you're processing data within the country, you will need to apply the ACT to all of your processing functions. And also important to understand is it's quite a big mindset shift. This isn't a simple little change of regulation. It's not a simple little tweak here or there. It's really quite a big mindset shift as to how we understand data, how we value data, and really change the way we do things with it. Because we now understand that it's really an asset, like you would have money from a client or assets given to you by a client. Data must be seen to be that sort of thing as well. So Poppy has come in with that mentality and that understanding and that motivation is to protect that data being processed by people within South Africa.
And also just to step in there, Thomas, one thing, what is the difference between data and the personal information? So how can I draw the distinction between the two?
That's a very good point, because of course, data can include everything. It can include descriptions of things, metadata, bits and pieces. What we're mainly focusing on and what the focus of the Act really is about is something called personally identifiable information. It's information that is linked to people. And interestingly, in South Africa, it's not just natural persons, but also companies, which is slightly different, for example, to the EU, where they just recognize natural persons' information. But the focus is on information that can be reasonably linked back to an individual to be able to identify them. Because, of course, some information may be explicitly identifiable to a person, right? The name, the surname, the ID number, that's quite clear. But what may be a bit unclear is that there are many other types of information out there where, with a little bit of discovery or a little bit of investigation, can quite easily identify someone. So it's not just simply name, surname, ID number. It could also be opinions expressed by someone. It could be a political affiliation or someone's race or even medical information. So the way that it's defined in the Act, they have given you a set list of what they consider to be personally identifiable information, but what they do is they also recognize the fact it's not a closed list. They say including but not limited to. So it is a common sense approach, and it's not just what they list as personally identifiable information that will be the focus of Poppy, but it's also up to you and I to also think about the data we're handling and think, can this reasonably be linked back to someone? Of course, with a lot of technology, you can make almost any information personally identifiable, but that's not the approach we're taking with the Act. It's a reasonable common sense approach to protect the data that is linked to a person or a company, because that's an asset for them.
So just to jump in there, I think it's very important in terms of e-commerce, whether you are B2B or B2C, you are dealing with personal data. So if you are B2B even, you're dealing with the name of the salesman who you've had contact with, the people who are buying from your website, etc. So anything you're collecting and then storing, which of course you do in order to ensure that that person's getting the order that they've made, is part of this whole process of protection of personal information. Sorry, just to make it clear.
No, and that's a perfect segue into really just bringing this back to e-commerce, into online selling. Like from an online seller's point of view, what do we need to be knowing about and need to be actioning right now in terms of Poppy Act, whatever you want to refer to it as?
I think there, the first question you have to decide, Thomas, you will definitely speak about the legal aspect, is what you want to call it. So you've got to pick your name. Is it going to be Poppy Papaya? Stick with it and go with it. But I think, first of all, you have to then start looking at what you need as a business to operate. So what categories of personal information do you really need in order to supply your goods, bring it to people? So you start with that aspect in mind. That's the first point. And then the next point is to think about your actual website, how you're gathering the information, where you're collecting it from, and where you're keeping it. Try to keep it in a safer location, not on, let's say, your desktop or on your phone that can be easily accessible. So those are the first tips that I can come up with. But Thomas, you can step in as well. I'm sure there's a structured task way that lawyers best describe it.
Yes, I think that what I'm going to do is, I think I've kind of, after, what are we dealing with, almost 8 years now, having to deal with this Act as well as experience with GDPR, what I've managed to do is I've percolated down the whole Act, which is easy to read, by the way. So I fully support that everyone must go and read it, definitely. But what I've found, though, with the Act is it's quite ethereal. It's quite intangible. There's not much of a huge practical focus. So what I've managed to percolate down from having read the Act and dealing with this in practice is I want people with e-commerce stores to think about total compliance as three separate major legs. Okay, so when we're talking generality, I want you to kind of summarize it like those three big legs. And what are these legs? The first one is having an outward-facing privacy policy. Very, very important, guys. This is probably one of your most priority items. And also because it's the fact that it's generally inexpensive to draft. So please don't be worried if you're bootstrapping, you're running your store, you just launched something. It's an absolutely essential item, and it's not that expensive to draft and not that difficult to do. Of course, it must obviously be bespoke to your company. Do not copy and paste someone else's, because of course that speaks to their processing. So you must, obviously, you can start on the template definitely, but it must be comprehensive and tailored to your exact processing needs, okay? So that's leg one, privacy policy. The second leg is what I call the actions. It's not what the Act calls it, it's what I call it. It's the internal systemic handling requirements of data at your company. So there are quite a few number of internal things that you are going to need to have. You're going to end up with quite a few internal policies, like having a data flow map, or having a privacy impact assessment if you're required to have one. So these are quite a few of these little policies, as well as other actions that you need to do. Training your staff, updating employment agreements or service contracts with data clauses. Now, guys, this leg to the actions is quite a laborious process, but it's primarily internal, which means that no one from the outside world sees it. Of course, you know, God forbid something goes wrong and they need to check things. But these items in the background, they can take a few weeks to do. It's not complex, it's just laborious. So what I always say to my clients, and especially for e-commerce stores, get going on these internal things sooner rather than later, okay? And then the last aspect, the last leg is what I call implementation, which is every one of your e-commerce store customers, or anyone actually, has many avenues for how they receive data, right? They're getting it via the website. They're getting it from telephone calls. Heck, they're even getting it from people stopping you in the street and handing you a business card. Now, in all of those avenues, you are receiving data. And what you must then do is make sure that for each of these onboarding avenues, you have the correct process implemented. So on your website, you may need to have that cookies pop-up banner that you see come up often on websites. You're going to have to make your privacy policy available, and you need to warn people at salient junctures where you're taking their data that you are taking their data and the application of the privacy policy. So those, if you can kind of sum up the main, how would I say, focus of trying to complete compliance for Poppy is dealing with these three legs. And as a priority, it's certainly the privacy policy and implementation, I would say first, because it's the public-facing aspects of how your company is compliant. But of course, you have to be doing the internal actions, otherwise you're essentially lying when you hold out your privacy policy and you say that you're doing these things, but you don't have them internally. So Warwick, just as a summary, I find that those three legs are a nice sort of summary to understand it and to make it a lot more practical and tangible to people. And the other thing, I'll get into specificities now, but one thing to also remember is that you do not get any sort of certificate of compliance once you become Poppy compliant. I think there's a lot of confusion. You know, they think that, I'm Poppy compliant. Someone gives me a certificate. I can stick it on my wall and I can hold that certificate out to people. That's not the case. It's very much self-regulation. So it's really an onus on you to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. Warwick, just to your points on what I think are probably the most important facets for e-commerce stores to be thinking about right now, just made a note about these things. The first thing is, please make sure that your actual engineering of your data storage and security is up to scratch, okay? The issue with Poppy is it doesn't really prescribe exact standards for security and storage. It says reasonable industry standards. It tells you to look around at what's available in the industry and according to the company nature that you are and the resources that you have and implement those things accordingly. So please, as a priority, you need to get your data security and storage up to scratch. Very important. The second thing which is important is to make sure that all of your public-facing documents talking about your compliance are also perfect. Like we said, your privacy policy and implementation. Why? That is how your company is represented to the world. And if you don't espouse that sort of professionalism, especially dealing with intangible websites, you know, gone are the days where you go and kick the tire and speak to the salesman, where you can really test the mettle of this company. Now you have to be able to espouse that professionalism online. So make sure that your public-facing Poppy compliance elements are perfect, because that's how they're going to regard your regard for their data, which of course must be paramount. And the last thing I wanted to also make mention, and Rieke and I were discussing this yesterday, which is, guys, if you want to stay attractive in the e-commerce world and you want to continue to be able to deal with other companies and your clients, you must become POPI compliant because you need to stay within their data chain. Meaning that if someone is POPI compliant, they cannot hand you their data unless you are also POPI compliant or of standards that are equal to or better than that. So if you don't get POPI compliant, what starts to happen is that you're going to notice your clients are going to start disappearing. You're going to notice that some of your service providers are going to start disappearing. Why? Because you are not POPI compliant and therefore they can no longer do business with you once they get POPI compliant. So to stay attractive in all of those data chains, guys, please make sure that you are staying compliant and that you certainly have agreements with everybody in your chain. You can no longer accept data willy-nilly and give data out willy-nilly. When you receive data and when you provide data, there must be a contractual basis for that provision or receipt. Okay, so those are my real big focuses for e-commerce stores.
It's so interesting. And, you know, for an online business owner, there's no shortage of things to do. And now this is something else that we need to be on top of. And we've got to get it right because, heck, if we don't get it right, there's a lot of problems that could come up for us, which will be in part two. Stay tuned. But the thing that's coming up for me is just like when you say that we need to get this drawn up, like our privacy policy, I've always told our students, you can't not have that. And it goes also to building trust with your customers. If you don't have that, they're not going to shop with you. They need to see this for trust. But is this something that an online business owner will need to engage with a lawyer to get done correctly? Or is it possible to read the POPI Act and just update our privacy policies ourselves?
I'm going to have to say this, and this is one of the things we're kind of proud of at Legalese, is there's certainly no need to pay a lawyer to do something that you can do yourself. Take a little proviso. I'm going to add that on there for a second. But what I need to mention is, guys, like any contract that exists on this planet, it is a bespoke agreement between two people. It's about managing a relationship. What I actually find a lot of the time is that lawyers tend to obfuscate that relationship. They confuse it. They make it too complex. So what I would suggest is certainly you can make an attempt at doing that privacy policy yourself. Okay, definitely. For two reasons. Number one, it'll save you a heck of a lot of money to at least get the ball rolling on something. And number two, it's about education and self-empowerment. The problem with simply handing a contract over or to deal with POPI compliance to an attorney is that you as the e-commerce owner will not learn the benefit and learn the understanding and the needs and the requirements of POPI and data protection for your company. Just like you need to know a little bit about accounting and you need to know a little bit about dev and you need to know about, you know, every aspect of your company, you are certainly going to have to know about data protection too. So as a start, certainly, you can definitely get either a template or you can start drafting one on your own. What you can also do is look at other people's privacy policies for inspiration. But hey, guys, do not copy and paste because number one, that's someone's intellectual property. And of course, it's a bespoke document for them, which is not going to match your processing. So make a start yourself because it will get the ball rolling and maybe even make it cheaper later. But what I would then suggest is before you launch it and you make it public, there is certainly a benefit in maybe getting a professional to look over it because of the fact that they're not having to draft from scratch. So it'll be certainly cheaper to simply review and conduct an update. Okay. So definitely. And again, also it's a time consideration. We've got maybe 2 months left. You guys also have to decide as an owner of a store, do you have the time and money to be able to do this yourself? Or is it actually worthwhile to simply hand this off to someone to do, recognizing that you should never just defer everything. You must still have a handle on it yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned that there's 2 months left. And whenever somebody's watching this video, maybe the date has gone past, maybe it's still looming, but we have certain deadlines that are approaching us right now. We're recording this beginning of May 2021, and that POPI Act is now coming into play very soon. So what are the specific deadlines that business owners need to have this all in place by?
Very, very good question. And this has been kind of like a moving goalpost for so many years. I think that people almost got tired of, when is this actually going to become a law? Guys, it became formally law on 1 July last year, but we had a grace period allowed to us by the president and as part of the act for a 1 year period, which means that by the 31st of June this year, 12 o'clock at night, you need to be fully compliant. So come 12 in the morning on 1st of July, you need to be fully compliant. The only other date, which is also important to remember and to recognize, and we will be speaking about this aspect in another little piece of engagement we will be sending out, is something called the Information Officer Registration. This is the only other time that you guys should be taking note of, because of the fact that the due date is 1 May. So that maybe for some of you, it may be right now, the time may have passed, but what is that date? Is the information officer, which is the person that you need to delegate at your company to be in charge of data at your organization. They need to be formally registered with the information regulator, who's the authority in charge of POPI and data protection in the country. You must register your information officer with them by the 1st of May. Now, of course, this has been quite a short timeline. How do you do it? You simply complete the form, which is available on the website, and submit it to an email address. That being said, the information regulator is in the process now of finalizing a portal, which will actually automate all of this. So you won't have to complete a form. You will simply go onto their portal and action your registration there. But please go take a look at the information regulator's website when you watch this and see what stage they're at. Maybe the portal is there. Otherwise, you may have to complete the form. But what we're looking at, 1st of May for information registration, information officer registration, and then 1st of July, you need to be up and ready.
Excellent, excellent. And Alistair, I hope if you wouldn't mind making a note just to put the link that Thomas has been referring to beneath this video for anybody who needs to do this. I know certainly I'm feeling a bit of that anxiety building up, because we haven't done this, but I got time, so still going to get this done, just like so many other people still need to do. But Reka, I wanted to ask you quickly, you know, there's a manual that we need to have in place, or do we need to have that in place, and what's the deadline for that one?
The PIA manual. So I think we're actually going to discuss that in a little bit more detail, because there's different thresholds of which entities need to actually have a PIA manual. So it depends on the size of the organization. So that's the first thing. So don't be too scared as your e-commerce shop that you might actually have to have it. But what I actually wanted to touch upon before we go to the PIA manual is, when you are drafting your own privacy statement, there's a benefit to why you're doing that. It actually helps you, in addition to learning how the process works, you start to identify what processing activities you're doing, what your organization is actually receiving and collecting. And that actually helps you streamline what you should be getting, what you don't need anymore. And then what that means in the end is you can keep it up to date yourself. You don't need to get a lawyer to keep it up to date, because you've actually learned, I know what's in my policy, I know what I'm telling people, and I can actually handle this on my own. So I just wanted to flag that as quite an important aspect. The privacy policy and statement is a living document. As you get new clients or new processing activities, you get a new method of collection, just add it in. There's no reason to be scared to do that. You're actually encouraged to be transparent in that perspective.
Absolutely. And you know, this ultimately, while it sounds like a lot of work and it's just adding another thing to our to-do list, and ultimately it is a good thing. You know, those phone calls that you get from the salespeople and those SMSs that just come in about all these old relatives of yours that have been dying all the time and leaving you money. Well, that should start going away. And personally, I know that I like my privacy to be protected, and I'm sure everybody here would agree with me. This is what the government is putting in place to make that happen. And so it is ultimately a good thing. We just need to make sure that we are compliant. And in part two of this video, which will be linked up beneath this video, then you can join us again for part two, where we're going to continue this conversation and dive deeper into the other topics, what you need to do, how you're going to do it, and just unpack a little bit more about what you need to know about POPI. So we'll see you now in the second video. Scroll down, get that link for that one. We'll see you there right now.
Thanks for listening to this episode all the way to the end. As a reward for sticking around right to the end and getting all the value from this content, well, I want to offer you even more valuable content absolutely free in the format of a free ticket to our upcoming PayFast E-Commerce Virtual Summit 2021. This is our annual event where we put on the most value out of any event in Southern Africa. And it actually was last year, undoubtedly, the biggest e-commerce event to ever happen in Africa. And you can get your free ticket right now by going across to insaka.co.za/summit. Book your ticket for free and you'll get access to all of the best South African e-commerce speakers from not only locally, but we also have top speakers from right around the world, from companies like Google, from Shopify, like PayFast, like Insaka, and so many more. We've got so many great speakers, 30 plus amazing speakers, giving you all of their best value and knowledge and suggestions and tips, and keeping you at the forefront of e-commerce in the country. And you can get your ticket for free. Just go along to insaka.co.za/summit right now. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm excited to have you along on this journey with me, and I wish you all the best with implementing this information in your own online store. If you'd like to access my free range of e-commerce strategies, tools, and mini courses that have helped thousands of South African entrepreneurs just like you, then be sure to visit insaka.co.za/free. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Till then, take care.